It's time for Under Your Home with DryZone. DryZone in Milton, Delaware, your complete source for basement and crawl space waterproofing, foundation repair, and basement finishing. 24-hour service. We never sleep at DryZone. 888-617-0363 or online at dryzone.com/the duck.
Good morning, folks. This is Bill Anderson with Under Your Home with DryZone, and I have a special guest for the next few weeks. We have Brad Wozlevic. Brad, how are you this morning?
I'm doing pretty good, Bill.
Brad's been with us for, I guess, about a year now, and he takes care of a lot of our crawl spaces. He takes care of a lot of our wet basements. He's also doing our basement finishing projects. You and Bert had been doing that, you know, together for a little while, and now that's, you know, definitely your main area of focus since we moved Bert over to the engineers.
Yeah, it's true. I really enjoy it, actually. It's something that gives me a different thing to focus on and really kind of adds another tool to the tool bag, as they say.
Well, now, not only do we have Brad this morning, but we also have Adam. And Adam is from J&A Electric Company, and they do all of our, obviously, our electric work. Adam, how are you this morning?
Good. How are you?
We really wanted to talk, definitely with Adam this morning, kind of talk about some different codes, because I've had a lot of homeowners, and Brad and I, we've talked about this for a little bit. When we go in there and we talk to homeowners about our crawl spaces or even our basements, there's a lot of electrical things that have to go on in a home for, you know, these different components to work. So, Adam, we have a couple different things that you do for us, you know, like I said, in the crawl spaces and basements, and then you do all of our wiring and finish, you know, electric stuff for basement finishing projects. So I want to talk a little bit this morning, Adam, about electricity for crawl spaces. What actually has to happen? What does code say? Like with us, our Sani Dry CXs, they're, what, 6.4 amps or sump pumps are made by Zoller, and they're like 9.3 or 9.4 amps. What does that actually mean to the layman person? What's an amp? What does it all mean?
Well, actually, with the National Electric Code, it states that anything in a crawl space must be GFI protected, especially like receptacles, equipment, and all that stuff. So basically, in your installations, we usually run a circuit for each piece of equipment due to the draw of each piece of equipment.
The draw is what the actual appliance uses.
The amperage, correct. Yeah.
So what does GFI mean?
Ground fault. It's actually GFCI, ground fault circuit interrupter.
And what does that mean?
Protects. It's an imbalance that's created where it will trip like a breaker would.
In the event of
a fault.
Like
moisture, anything, any kind of imbalance. Okay.
So like when your wife tries to throw the toaster in the bathtub.
You got it.
It's supposed to trip so you don't get shocked, right?
Correct.
When you start talking about the different wiring and all that, I've gone into a lot of homes and I've seen, and Brad, I'm sure you've seen the exact same thing. We go into a house and it's just this great big bird's nest of wires that people are daisy chaining everything. So if we're working down in a crawl space and we plug one of our drills or whatever into a socket that's underneath the home, the refrigerator might pop off on the third floor or something like that. How do you actually get the wires from point A to point B to where we know it's just a single circuit connection, I guess, is the word?
We actually go straight from the panel, the circuit breaker, to the receptacle itself, which in that term would be a dedicated circuit to where we don't plug into anything that's under the crawl space, because standard practice for older homes especially was to just drop a receptacle or a light, something of that nature, from the living room or a bedroom or anything that's pretty much close by.
Do you drill through the wood? You go up through the ceiling? I mean, I know a lot of times we find them in garages. So, I mean, what's the process of what you guys do to get from point A to point B?
There's a few different ways. When the panel is in the garage, we run a pipe from the panel to the crawl space and drill through and then run our wire. If the panel is in the laundry room or a bedroom, say like in an older home, we're able to fish down the wall without any damage into the crawl space and go that route.
Okay, by fish, what do you mean?
Inside the wall.
So you'll just drill a hole at the top and the bottom and then...
Yeah, come through the bottom plate, drill a hole, fish it up into the panel, and like it was pretty much there with the house.
Okay. I'm assuming we're still using Romex nowadays, right?
And, correct. You
know, the biggest thing with our show is we talk about education, okay, Adam? So what I want to do is, like, for all the layman people, because you'll know what Romex is and GFIs and, you know, I know you were talking with my business partner this morning about trying to run the different panels outside by our shop or whatever, and even I was starting to get clueless on some of the things you guys we're talking about. You're like, well, this three phase is running down the end of the road or whatever. So with our show, we try to really get the homeowners to understand exactly what's happening on in very layman's terms. So we use this cable called Romex, and I know that's a very standard wire nowadays, right?
Right.
What is Romex?
Romex is basically shielded. It's NMB cable, non-metallic sheathed cable. It's standard practice in residential applications for today, you know, today's code and standards.
Now, what happens if you go in there and you see, because I was looking at some pictures from a house I guess it was last week or whatever, somebody was, one of our guys was looking at. It had the old, the porcelain knobs and wire
tube,
that ran.
Right.
Yeah, knob and tube.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, tell me kind of how things have progressed from electricity from, you know, even 20 or 30 years ago, because a lot of our homeowners, they're going to see this stuff. And if they see the old knob and tube and they're like, okay, well, that doesn't look like the Romex thing you were just talking about. What really are the options out there? I mean, I know it's just pretty much Romex nowadays, but what can people see in their homes?
Well, actually, by code, knob and tube is actually still legal. It's actually grandfathered in. By grandfathered, it means if it's part of the home, that it can stay. But in new applications, it's not, you know, suggested to use that method because it's outdated and not as reliable as Romex is with the ground. That's being the key. Romex has the ground in it where knob and tube doesn't. That's pretty much uninsulated wire running across joists and et cetera with the use of not
good way to get
porcelain.
A fire then, basically.
Yeah.
So we go from the box and you guys are putting in a brand new breaker in a box.
Correct.
So we normally talk with like a 15 amp breaker because it's funny, I have a lot of homeowners that will put in a dehumidifier and will also put in a sump pump. So most homeowners say, okay, well, your dehumidifier is what, 6.4 amps, your sump pump's like 9.3, whatever. So, you know, obviously we're going to be over the 15 amp limit for a breaker. So they'll say, just go ahead and put a 20 amp breaker in there. Why do you not want to do that?
Well, basically, the first thing is that a breaker can only handle 80% of its rated capacity. So a 15 amp breaker can only handle 12 amps, and a 20 amp breaker can only handle 16 amps. So if you know, do the math with that, you definitely want to stay within the range to where you don't have the possibility of tripping the breaker. Mm. If you were to put both those units on one breaker, then obviously it would trip at some point.
Well, you know, and the biggest thing that I see is, I don't think most people realize, but breakers are designed to trip, and that's a good thing.
Right.
You know, you don't want to oversize the breaker just so you can stick more stuff on it. It's funny because I had one homeowner that just would not listen to us. They were like, Billy, listen, they had two sump pumps and they had a dehumidifier. They want us to put like a 30 amp breaker in there. And I'm like, we're not doing it. And they're like, why? It'll fit. You know, it'll technically work. And I'm like, you don't oversize the breaker to meet your needs. You put the appropriate breaker in there for the right equipment.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's a huge thing that we see as waterproofers who, you know, install the different electrical equipment, that I think people just hear, okay, well, I need a 30 amp breaker. We'll just install that because it's probably going to be cheaper because you're only running one wire, I guess. You know, and then you put like a double duplex box or whatever in there. What kind of stuff do you see that you're like, oh my God, what were they thinking? I know that, Brad, I know you've seen stuff like in there in houses where it's like, I've had houses where I've gone in and there was water in the crawl space. And this is back when we would go in there when there's like a lot of water in there, and you go swimming through the crawl space. I came up on this berm, this hill, this mound of dirt that was in the crawl space. Sitting right on top of that hill was a wire that came out of the crawl space ceiling onto the ground. It was wound up with an outlet stuck in it that was alive. I mean, definitely, it's not good, you know. So when we look underneath the home, one of the first thing our guys try to do is, you know, our crews, they try to staple all the wires up that they can.
Right.
I don't know about you, Adam, but I can't stand a lot of people in the other trades. You know, there's a house that we did in Georgetown. Actually, Brad, you sold it. We had to have the sewer pipe moved because we had to put in new supplemental girders underneath the crawl space, right, because the floors were sagging and they were getting a lot of moisture down in there. So we had to basically put in supplemental supports. Well, unfortunately, one of the sewer lines that was going into addition ran exactly the same place that we had a support going in. So we called up the plumber to move it. And the bad thing, well, the homeowner called the plumber. They chose their own guy. But whoever did the cable wires ran it around the sewer pipe, I guess, to keep it up off the floor. Somebody didn't buy nails or whatever. They literally just strapped it all the way around it. So that was a nightmare for the plumber to get done. However, when the plumber, once we did what we had to do, they came out, they cut their pipe. We came in there, supported the floor. We lifted the structure. We got it nice and level again, the floor. The plumber came back in and literally right in front of the crawl space door ran the sewer pipe. So the crawl space doors are normally only, you know, the entrances are only 32 inches wide by maybe, you know, 16 or 24 inches tall. In this case, it was actually 24 inches tall. So right in the middle of that, they ran a 4-inch sewer pipe. So you couldn't get any big piece of equipment in there anymore. And it was a nightmare because it was you had to go into a little basement before you ever got into the crawl space. So you had to get up on a ladder right as you tried to go in the door where the HVAC guy already ran the geothermal lines, which was hard enough. Now there's a sewer pipe right in your way. So it was a complete nightmare. What they did was they ruined that homeowner's entrance. Now they're going to have to pay to have a brand new entrance cut into that crawl space so you can access it from another way, because there's just no way to do it now. And I know you see stuff like that all the time.
What I tend to see is like in the workmanship, with wiring being on the ground, like you said, and I know that we take pride in stapling the wires up correctly and making sure that everything is secure. I've also seen that with your guys, you know, they make sure that everything is on point. I think a lot of times it's out of sight, out of mind with a crawl space, and possibly the homeowner doesn't go under there.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe a lot of guys, I can't speak for everybody, but they may think, okay, what's the quickest way to get it done? And it's no big deal because you can't see it.
Well, you know, it's funny because, and Brad, we were talking about this at our last training class that we had at the shop. The first house we ever sold, Dry Zone, the first house Dry Zone ever sold, Gary and I went out to do the inspection and to make the presentation to the homeowner. When we got underneath there, and the house, I don't know, maybe it was like 10 or 15 years old, I don't know, but what we found was a great big pile of Reese's peanut butter cups, the packages, and a 12-pack of beer, right in the same pile. Like, somebody was, like, just sitting there, I guess, doing the framing and started eating peanut butter cups and drinking beer. What are the weird stuff you guys have seen? I mean, you guys have both been at crawl spaces.
Yeah, I've actually seen, I have a little collection going on my laptop from strange things I've seen. Somebody's watch, I guess maybe it broke and they just dropped it in the crawl space and it was laying down there all rusted up. Actually, the other day, but I guess it was probably about a week and a half or so ago, I saw an old newspaper, and now you can tell that the newspaper is a little older by the print, and I got up on top of it and it was all shredded up. And I found a date stamp. It was from 1947. It was a Wall Street Journal. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Wow.
House is probably, you know, 150 years old. And obviously somebody's granddad was down there at some point or blew in or who knows what. But I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah, definitely some strange things. I see a lot of like 70s and 80s style Pepsi cans and things like that where they just kind of throw their trash when they're doing it. And, you know, luckily when we go in there and do the clean space system, we clean all that out. And, you know, it makes it look a lot nicer. And then you actually see homeowners. I've had several of them joke about, you know, hey, if power ever goes out upstairs, I'm crawling underneath the house because it's going to be nice and warm and cozy and clean. And that always makes me smile. You know, it's a good thing to do.
I know that you couldn't make it that day, Brad. And Adam, I don't know if we ever told you we actually ever did it, but the Extreme Home Makeover's house that was down in Mardella,
right,
we did the crawl space in it. When we got down in there, and it amazed me how fast, we talked about it a lot for like 4 or 5 weeks on the show, but when we got down in there to actually do the work, because my daughter goes to the same school that this young boy, he got his arm cut off. He went to school, so my daughter was kind of like, Daddy, I think you really would be kind of cool if you did this house. So I actually, Brad, you got a hold of the company for us and volunteered our services and everything. When we got there that day, it was a concrete floor. It was like precast walls, so it was like really easy to build the home. I was trying to figure out how to build a house that quick because you need dry time and mortar and everything else. So they basically have these, you know, these prefab walls that they just pour the concrete in. There was so much junk left in this crawl space. And the sad part is, even if it was just concrete, it wouldn't have been bad if somebody would have went down there and washed it up or whatever. It was amazing. People, and the sad part is, I know everybody was trying to get this house done, so it was quick, so you leave some material down there, I guess, or whatever. We don't like to leave material on jobs because, first of all, it's rude. Number one, it's trash. And number two, you think you'd be able to use it on the next couple of jobs. So if we ever wonder why businesses don't succeed, it's because they don't keep track of their stuff, I guess. We went underneath there, and I found like a good $200 to $300 worth of fittings, just like plumbing fittings underneath there. I found 3.5 full boxes of Romex. We found a whole half box of like breakers that hadn't even been used yet. I mean, still like all cellophaned up and everything. It was amazing how much stuff was left down in there. And the sad part is we still see that in a brand new house. Not like just, not something special like Extreme Home Makeovers or, you know, Habitat for Humanity or anything like that. I'm talking about somebody paid to have this work done. They built their, you know, their dream home, the house they're going to live in forever. And it's this $1 million mansion at the beach, you know, which I guess $1 million doesn't buy you a mansion at the beach anymore. But
yeah, you might want to up that 2 or 3 times.
Get the property, right?
It's amazing at how long or how much stuff people leave underneath that thing. It just absolutely kills me. So when you look at it, you go down there and you're like, you know what? Nobody takes care of their stuff. So we got to take a break real quick. If you guys will hang out through the break, station's got to make some money. We'll be right back.
Do you want to cut energy costs and save up to 20%? On your heating bill each month? Let DryZone show you how. DryZone will install a clean space encapsulation system in your crawl space and save you money. When your crawl space is encapsulated by DryZone, your heating system won't work so hard, your tile and hardwood floors won't be cold, and your crawl space becomes great for storage. DryZone offers interest-free financing for 18 months. Don't be left out in the cold. Call DryZone today. 888-617-0360 or online at DryZone/theduck.com.
Do you work with or are you a member of an organization that provides employment information or job referrals? Any organization that regularly distributes employment information to job seekers or refers candidates to employers is eligible to receive information about our job vacancies. To be contacted when we have jobs available, contact Beverly Jones by mail, P.O. Box 237, Cambridge, Maryland 21613. Fax at 410-228-0130 or by email at bjones211@comcast.net. Internet. You will then receive periodic announcements of jobs at our stations. MTS Broadcasting LLC is an equal opportunity employer.
Hey, you. Yeah, you. How much do you get paid per hour? You know, that's just about what you'll save by going to Easton Hardware, 303 North Washington Street in Easton, instead of one of those cavernous discount stores. What would you rather spend your time doing? Looking for your supplies or actually working on your project? At Easton Hardware, you'll park a few steps away from the door. Not way, way down there. You'll go inside, ask for what you need, and quickly be shown all the items to complete your successful do-it-yourself project. Not wandering hopelessly lost in aisles of stuff, trying to guess if you picked out the part that will fit your pieces. When you subtract the frustration of trying to look for the supplies you need, subtract the extra time, guess what? It all adds up the savings of both your patience and your pocket. Spend time on your project, not on the supplies, at the real savings place, Easton Hardware. Easton Hardware, 303 North Washington Street in Easton.
We are back, and we're still being joined with Brad Wozlevec. He's one of our system design specialists at DryZone, and we're also here with J&A Electric. And before the break, our producer was holding up a sign with, you know, showing the 800 number, and we forgot to mention our numbers here. So you can always get a hold of DryZone at 855-DRYZONE, which is the 800 number. You can get a hold of us locally at 302-684-5034. You can find us on the web at DryZone.com. Where all of our shows are archived, where we have lots of videos, we have lots of testimonials, reviews, all that good stuff. And if you have any questions, you can always get a hold of me at my email, which is simply bill@dryzone.com. And Adam, since you're a special guest this morning, why don't you go ahead and give out your numbers?
You can get a hold of us at 302-943-9894. Or if you prefer email, that would be jaelectricde@aol.com.
So Adam, how long have you guys been in business?
A little over 3 years.
And you're licensed where?
In Delaware and Maryland.
Obviously, you just can't go out and just become an electrician.
Right.
You know, what's the process of somebody actually becoming an electrician?
The typical process is to do an apprenticeship for 4 years and to go to school. And then you can obtain your license after that point. But pretty much, you know, it's the schooling on top of the hours in the trade, which go hand in hand.
Where did you go to school at?
I went to Delcastle for the state apprenticeship program upstate in Newark.
Okay. And you did that for how long?
4 years.
4 years, wow.
Right.
Now, I'm assuming that's just like a regular college at that point then.
Actually, it's like adult education, night school.
Okay.
It's an equivalent of college curriculum.
Okay. So, and then you said you had to apprentice. So, I mean, did you just had to work for somebody for 4 years, or did you actually have like a mentor?
Yeah, to be state registered, you have to work underneath a licensed electrician. So I went the contractor route, worked, you know, residential, commercial, industrial. And then after a while, decided that it was time to open up my own business.
You have a partner, right?
Correct.
And who's your partner?
Jimmy Brittingham.
Okay. Why Jimmy? Why electricity? Why? What's the story with J&A? You know what I mean? Give me the background. Let's hear why. Because let's face it. I mean, we had, you know, Active Pest Control in here a few weeks ago when we started promoting them. It takes a while to build relationships and trust people. And they had a lot of things they had to prove to us. And we had a lot of things we had to prove to them. And, you know, I mean, I can give you a long list of why you guys proved why you're, you know, you get our business. But for our listeners who get a chance to, you know, really get to know Adam at J&A, tell me about your business.
Well, Jimmy and I have known each other probably for about 5 years now, and we actually worked together, and we got laid off from the same company, and we had decided to start our own business because the economy was a little tough with trying to find, you know, a job as an electrician for another contract or whatever, and we always had a lot of contacts and work that we'd done on the side and everything, and we just decided to make a go of it, and it's been great so far.
And without trying to, I guess, get into too much of your business, I mean, DryZone will do anywhere between 400 to 600 homes this year. You guys pride yourselves on being small, right? You guys pride yourself on taking care of, I don't want to say small like it's a bad thing, because I don't think it is, but I know you cover our territory now.
Right.
You know, which is from, you know, Wilmington down to the Virginia line and then Bay to Bay. But what separates J&A, I think that's, by the way, I think that's one of the things that does separate you guys, that I know that I can get a hold of Adam, not Adam's secretary, not Adam's wife who answers the phone. I can just get a hold of Adam. Tell me why choose you.
We pride ourselves on being on time, being reasonable, And basically, you know, we take pride in what we do. Every project, big or small, we try to do it the right way and on time. And we try to build relationships for the future, not for the present.
You guys definitely don't skimp on materials, which, you know, you don't go out there and buy the cheap breakers. You don't buy the cheaper, because I'm assuming even with Romex, there's cheaper versions of it. Or is it just pretty much just Romex?
It's pretty much standard.
Okay.
Every application is different, but we try to approach it as if it was our home, basically.
Like I said, one of the reasons why we chose you guys, because you've worked in our home. You've taken care of us, and you were one of the big, big people when it came to our Habitat for Humanity function. When we talk about the people that we build our relationships with, I know that I can count on you guys. If I got a homeowner that something bad's happening and they need electricity right then, I know you're willing to stop what you're doing, get somebody over there, and get it knocked out for us. As an owner, I appreciate it, just so you guys know. I want to talk to you a little bit about, and I want to save it mostly for next week if I can, because you said you were going to join us next week, correct?
Correct.
Okay. I know getting up at 6:30 in the morning is hard. And, you know, we've got a lot of coffee and Red Bulls here right now. So what attracted us to you? Obviously, I have some more work now, but...
Basically, the first time I ever seen a crawl space that was encapsulated, I was absolutely just floored with that, of how the craftsmanship, how well it was done, and just the idea of what exactly this procedure is doing for homes. I like that, so it piqued my interest.
Let me talk to you a little bit about waterproofing, okay? Because obviously that's near and dear to my heart. When we talk about condensation in a crawl space, I know that the Romex is insulated, so you don't necessarily have to worry about the rust inside the wire.
Right.
But the boxes, they'll get condensation even on the inside of them, right? And I know a lot of that stuff's copper, so you're not going to have to worry that much about rust. But how much rust do you actually see in crawl spaces?
Actually, a basement that's not conditioned correctly, yes, mm-hmm. We see it a lot with the terminals on the receptacles and even the sockets in the fixtures themselves, the light fixtures.
And what happens with stuff like that? I mean,
corrosion, and over time, basically the wire's going to break free and it's not going to work. You know, there's all kind of possibilities with fire hazards, anything of that nature.
So true. I mean, and I don't want to make it sound like this, but I mean, truly, having an unconditioned crawl space could lead to a fire, is what you're saying.
Ultimately,
I know it's got to be like, you know, the perfect storm or whatever.
Correct.
But I mean, let's face it. I mean, I believe in Murphy's Law. Murphy's Law basically states that if it's going to happen, it's going to happen at the worst possible time at the worst possible moment. So I believe in the worst case scenarios on everything, right? You plan for the worst and hope for the best. Like the Delaware State Fair, they plan that thing so hard every year and they work so hard on it. And I'll tell you, it just, like, well, last year it didn't rain that much, but the heat was just about as bad as the rain.
Yeah,
I think
the heat was pretty awful.
It was, and well, you should know, Brad, you worked it with us.
I was there quite a bit. Yeah, people were coming in. We had a fan going on one of our dehumidifiers and they kept coming in and out of the hot just to stand in front of the fan for a while.
Funny part was we were actually talking about getting a, because we do a lot of different fairs and stuff like that. And if you ever want to see where we're going to be, on our website, there's a little place on our left-hand side that says, you know, home shows. And we do that button for more than just home shows. It's county fairs. It's home shows. It's our lunch and learns that, you know, our people do, our real estate presentations that we do. All that good stuff is sitting on there. If you ever do want to come see us at one of our home shows or different events, go right on our website. It tells you the dates, the times, the websites, wherever you want to find us. It's easy to find us through it on that. I want to get back into some more stories, though, guys. And I know I'm kind of bouncing around here this morning, and I apologize, but...
That's pretty much par for the course, is that right?
Yeah, we didn't get a whole lot of sleep last night, so I apologize in advance. I really want to hear about these weird stories, because we always come on here every week, and we preach, and we talk, and we do this, and we do that. What are the weird things you guys are finding?
Well, luckily, you know, it's a lot of people kind of, I don't know, think that there might be a dead animal down there or something like that. I really haven't seen that many dead animals in my experience. So that's good. I'll kind of like set you at rest, hopefully. Only ever seen one snake, which is good. A lot of people think there might be a lot of snakes down there. Truthfully, the most I've ever seen as far as creepy crawlies go is those little camelback crickets. You see a lot of them.
You know, it's funny because I talked with Darren about that like a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing the kind of stuff that he... If you haven't listened to the show yet, Brad, or Adam even, go on our website, listen to it. They actually should be uploaded here shortly. Amazing the kind of bugs and stuff that you'll see and stuff he was talking about.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, that's pretty much my daily routine is crawling around through that stuff. And see, as an inspector and a systems designer, you know, it's I get in there before the clean space. So, you know, we're quite used to getting cobwebs in the hair and everything like that, to the point that when I started here, I actually had longer hair, and I've decided I'm just going to keep it pretty short because of that. So, but yeah, no, as far as weird stories go, I mean, I would say that the weirdest thing I've ever seen would definitely be that newspaper that I talked about earlier. But, you know, every once in a while you see something a little strange, you know. You see a lot of people that they put deodorizers or some sort of, you know, something to soak up the smell, and they don't realize that it's basically like putting a Band-Aid on a crack in a dam, you know? It's not going to work.
There's a competitor that we have, and I'm going to say shall remain nameless, right? Because I'm definitely not giving
these
folks
plugs. Probably a good idea,
yeah. We're definitely not giving these folks plugs. They took a Febreze thing, put their company sticker on it, put it down in the crawl space, and charged the homeowner like $50 a pop to put a deodorizer down there.
Wow.
Like the same thing that you put in like bathrooms and everything else. The homeowner was complaining about smells. We went out there, we went underneath there, and I literally was like, oh my word, are you kidding me? You know, it was the funniest thing I've ever seen. And they had them everywhere. They had like 10 of them in this house. Well, the thing is, I mean, like literally you go to like Harris Teeter or, you know, Food Lion or whatever, and you pick up this little refill and you stick it in there. Problem was, they sold it and that was it. They never even came back and said, okay, well, you need to refill these things, none of that. You could tell the thing had been down there for like a long time. That's how they got the smells out of their house. So the homeowner, I was sitting there talking with them, and they're like, all right, well, look, these things were like $50 a piece. It worked for about a month.
Which it should,
yeah. I mean, you put enough perfume on anything, and it's going to smell good for a few minutes. You know, at least it's going to cover up the smell. And she was like, but after that, they stopped returning phone calls, and these were the same folks that they started out at like $150 a piece. These air fresheners were $150 when they first walked in. And as soon as they said no, they said, well, let me call my boss, because my boss, you know, I just got to call my boss and let him know that I'm leaving, that I'm safe and everything. And he gets on the phone and he's like, what? Oh, really? Are you kidding me? Oh, wait a minute. Hang on. Folks, listen, we actually had an overstock of these things. So what my boss is willing to do, and get this, I can't believe it, we're going to drop it $50. So now they're only $100 for you. And the homeowner was like, well, listen, you know, that sounds great. I still need to think about it. We got a couple of estimates coming in, whatever. And they're like, okay, well, I just wanted to let you know because, you know, we were running this special. And okay, so that's great. So the homeowner says, thank you. You have a nice day. And then they called back up like an hour later and said, well, listen, the house that we were working on, we found out that, and isn't that far away from you? They're like maybe an hour away from you. But the house that we were just working on today, the lady was actually allergic to it. She had this really weird, you know, like a peanut reaction to it thing or whatever. So if you're not allergic to peanuts or whatever it was, we can get them in here. And since we're only that far, only an hour away from you, we'll just drop them down to $50. And they were like, well, $50, yeah, it's gonna work, right? And they're like, oh, yeah, it's absolutely gonna work, you know. So they went in there that afternoon and put like 10 of those things in there. And like I said, for a month it smelled okay, I guess, and then it just got bad again. They called us out there and they're like, well, listen, I don't need your hard cells, and I don't need this and that, because we've already had that. And I'm like, how about I just do an inspection for you and I'll show you what I find down there and we'll just go from there. The homeowner's like, oh, all right, whatever, that's fine. So I go underneath there and I find this thing and I just start chuckling, you know. And we'd brought it back to the office, and Brad and all the other designers, I mean, they were just rolling in their seats because it was the funniest thing I've ever seen. I'm just like, I can't believe that people are using like Febreze.
Yeah, it's
pretty
bad.
It wasn't Febreze, you know, it was like some no-name knockoff Takahuchi brand or something, you know.
Yeah.
And the moral of the story was is that they got sold a bill of goods, you know.
Yeah.
And nothing good came from it. They were out all that money, and you know, let's face it, $50 times 10, that's still what, $500?
$500, yeah.
That's a lot of money. I mean, that's a decent TV at Walmart nowadays, you know?
You know, for something that doesn't really do its job in the end, you know?
So, you know, basically, just be careful, because if it sounds too good to be true, it really probably is. And that goes with electricians, and that goes with anything. You know, I've heard people's promise the world, and you have to verify, you know? You just gotta verify. The only thing that I know we have to verify right now is I think we're running out of time, so we need to get these phone numbers out. So, Adam, I'll let you go ahead and start. Why don't you go and let everybody know all your good information.
J&A Electric, it's 302-943-9894, and on the web at jaelectricdelaware.com.
Brad, why don't you go ahead and give our
sure. We can be reached at 1-855-DRYZONE. That's DRYZONE. Also, you can get a hold of Bill. My last name, obviously, is very hard to spell, so I'm not going to bother. But Bill's website is dryzone.com. And then his email is bill@dryzone.com. Very simple.
All right. And if you want to reach us locally, the number is always 302-684-5034. Well, gentlemen, I appreciate you getting up early with me. Brad, I know you said you were going to be here for the next few weeks with me.
I'll be here. Yeah, if you tell me where to be, I'll be here.
So. All right. I'll buy the coffee. And Adam, you're a big guy, so next week if you join us, I'll bring the donuts, okay?
All right.
All right. Well, folks, I appreciate you listening. This has been Under Your Home with DryZone. Please give us a call.
You've been listening to Under Your Home with DryZone. DryZone in Milton, Delaware. Your complete source for basement and crawl space waterproofing, foundation repair, and basement finishing. 24-hour service. We never sleep at DryZone. 888-617-0363 or online at dryzone.com/theduck.